His love and mercy fills the streets. To look upon the one who bled to save me, and walk with Him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before Him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with He who died and rose again.
This year, but every year we get the chance. Yep, I'm actually gonna have you stand here. That's heavier than it looks. Okay. Once a year, we get the privilege and the honor to recognize the students who have been kind of through youth group or part of youth group and through the church, and we've stuck with it through high school, and just to be able to recognize their commitment to the Lord and just their faithfulness to be able to attend church, attend youth group, and be involved. And so today we have Jacob Schroeder and David Stone as the two that are graduating this year from the youth group, and it really has been a privilege and an honor to see them grow, to see them from when they were maybe not shorter than I am at seventh grade, and then work their way up to being seniors. But these two are a little different in the sense that these two have been involved in the church their whole life, right? So from birth, I don't know. Whenever, their parents brought them to church, and they've been in the church, faithfully committed, and it's just really just a neat thing to see a couple of young individuals take that all the way through high school. But note this, this is not a graduation from faith. It still continues, it still goes on. But I wanted to read to you guys from Titus 3. It says, "Be ready for every good work. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work." That means you still have to honor your mother and dad. Okay. "To speak evil of no one and to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Yeah, that's the end of the sentence. Okay. "The hope of eternal life. Know that your salvation is not your works, not what you've accomplished in a church building or in a church congregation, but it's because of Jesus. And your faith, like I said, doesn't end today, doesn't end when you're done with youth group, should continue to go with you wherever you guys choose to go, and keep pursuing the Lord. The best decision of your life. So I'm going to open it up to these two. Let me get a mic quick. They're going to share their name, maybe what their plan is after high school, and then maybe just something that God has been teaching them lately.
So I'm David. After high school, I plan on continuing working. Something God has been teaching me lately is patience, just with the end of the school year and my siblings. Also, just like patience with what he wants me to do after I graduate. And so, yeah.
I have a stutter, so if you'll excuse me for a second. My name is Jacob Schrader.
Not Schroeder.
Vlad said it wrong earlier. Yeah. I plan to go to the University of North Dakota for aerospace engineering. And you said the exact same thing I was going to say.
Ditto.
like all the kids at the end of the school year are being very rowdy, so I have to have patience with them and not get mad at them too much. Just finish up all my schoolwork and be done with it.
Cool. Thanks, guys. So it's important. It's important to know where God's leading you, what God's teaching you in your life. And so on behalf of the Pequot Lakes Church, whether you guys were aware of it or not, we give them a Bible and a certificate. If they end up going to college, we give them some finances to be able to, as a scholarship, to help afford college. So if David decides to go to college, that scholarship is there for him. And then we had a young, we'll say young gentleman, make this for each one of them. Just kind of a unique, cool cross. And then, so David, there you go. And it's important, right? And it's the exact same thing for you, Jacob, just different name on the certificate. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be able to hand them, right, the Word of God. And it's the sword of the Spirit. It's something that we can use in our life to continue to grow, to continue to expand our knowledge of God. And it's not large print. It's a study Bible. So you order it online and you don't really know what you're getting, and then it shows up and it's massive. But it should be, right? The Word of God, I mean, it's an incredible thing. So normally Pastor Jeff will have, you know, maybe something like this where people will come down and be in the front and then we'll lay hands on them and pray. We're going to do that same kind of concept to be able to pray over our seniors. But instead of the front, they're going to choose one of the interior, exterior aisles. And then you guys find those two. Go ahead. You guys can work your way down. And then you as a church find one of those two and lay a hand on them. And then we'll pray over them as a send-off, but also an encouragement to pray over them as they go from this senior graduation into maybe what we would consider adulthood or their next phase of life. So if you guys wouldn't mind, stand up. All right, let's pray. Hey, Lord, we just love you. We thank you so much for David and for Jacob and truly their commitment to follow you, to serve you, to worship you, to surrender their life to you. Lord, we just pray that as they step out of the season of life and maybe even just finish it up with graduation and finishing school and just that transition period, Lord, we just pray that they would be committed to finish strong, to encourage their peers, to encourage each other as they endure the finals, as they finish up and wrap up their senior year. Lord, I pray that they would finish strong, not just in their schoolwork, but in their walk with you. And Lord, I pray that as they leave high school, Lord, they wouldn't just be done with you, say peace out to the church, but Lord, that they would pursue you. Their heart and their motives and their love for you would continue to burn and serve you in all capacities of their life. Lord, I pray that we as a church can encourage them, can build them up to spur them on towards good works. Help us not to grow shy of what it means to continue to disciple, but help us as a church love them and support them in any way that is needed. And Lord, we just give you the praise for just how you have worked in Jacob's and David's life. Lord, we just pray a blessing over them as they find who you are calling them to be in this next stage of life. And we'll give you the glory and the praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. As you find your way back to your seats, guys, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna get started with our service here. We already have started, but we're gonna dig into the sermon portion. And I have a question for you: are you ready to graduate? And this isn't like, are you smarter than a 12th grader game? I'm still not smarter than a 5th grader, if you remember that show. So I just haven't passed that. But hey. The question is, are you ready to graduate? And we're going to go ahead and dig into 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 14 is what we're going to start with. Give you a second to turn there. But as we turn there and kind of think of that question, our graduation as a believer, as one who has put their faith and trust in Jesus, is to spend eternity in heaven with God. It's not on this earth. It's not your best life is here on earth. If that's the case, that's not a good thing, right? If your best life is now. Because there's a lot of pain and toil and heartache. Man, but in eternity with God, when we die from this earth, we'll be resurrected into heaven as a believer and spend an eternity with God. And that is our graduation. And there's going to be a massive graduation ceremony as we feast at a table with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all of the believers. Ah, it's exciting. And I can't wait. And I don't know what I'm going there, but I just have to ask, are we ready? Are we ready to be in the presence of God? Are we ready to graduate as believers? So let's turn there. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 through 14. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to the death of Jesus, and are always being given over, verse 11. For we who live are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. And we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Let's pray. Hey, Lord, we just love you. Lord, I thank you again for being able to gather together to worship, to hear your word, to recognize the seniors and just recognize what you have done for us as a church. Lord, thank you for a church that encourages and builds up and disciples. Thank you for a church that is not a building, but it is the body of believers. Lord, thank you that we have that freedom to be able to read your word, to be able to share it, to be able to profess your word to other people. And Lord, thank you that we have that freedom to be able to live that out and share the light of Christ wherever we go. Lord, I just thank you for a chance to be able to preach today. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me. Lord, that I would get out of your way. And Lord, that your word would go out in power. And Lord, that it would touch our hearts. Lord, it would convict us of the wrong in our lives. Lord, that we would turn from it and turn to you. Lord, I also pray that it would encourage us in our walk with you and challenge us to be ambassadors for you in a world that needs you so desperately. Lord, thank you for the truth that you bring through your word. And Lord, we just praise you again for bringing us here. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So something I want to start off with is, as we think of that question, are you ready to graduate? We got to get back to a portion of saying, of what I said earlier, a graduation into heaven is for those who have chosen to believe. It's not for the unbeliever, for somebody who has chosen to not commit their life to Christ. It is a graduation into heaven and to spend an eternity with our Maker, our Lord of Lords, King of Kings, is one who has said, I have committed my life to you. I've accepted that gift of salvation. And I want to turn real quick to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And it says this: because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? Let's preface that. It doesn't mean you have to. It doesn't say you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and believe you have to be at church on a Sunday morning in order to be saved. No, you have to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, that what Jesus did on that cross was enough to cover the punishment of your sins. But it isn't one or the other either. It isn't, I'm just going to say it, but I really don't believe it. And it's not, I'm just going to believe it, but I'm never going to say it. It's coincides with each other. It needs to work together. Accepting that gift of salvation is that starting point of you saying, I commit my life to you. I recognize that I need a Savior. I recognize that I am broken and fallen short of your glory, Lord. But I need you. I need you in my life. And I want you to lead me. I want you to direct me and guide me into a life that is glorifying to you. And surrendering your past, saying, I'm letting go of that, and I'm going to live for you. Those are the ones that will choose that. Those are the ones that are chosen to be in heaven with God for an eternity. So then the question is, well, what is heaven? What is that graduation like? Let's go to Revelation 21, 3 through 8. And it says this, and I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and the death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. That sounds awesome, right? Hey, if I'm not in any pain, and that's not just physical pain, that's spiritual pain, heart pain, right? Emotional pain and physical pain. You won't stub your toe anymore. As much as that's crazy, that sounds awesome. I'm not going to have to worry about falling. I'm not going to have to worry about running into something or hurting somebody else by accident, right? All that pain is gone. But there's no more mourning. There's no more pain. There's no more tears. There's an eternal worship of God in his presence. Guys, that's exciting. And as David and Jacob, they get ready for that day where they can walk across a stage. Guys, we as Christians should be looking forward to that day. Maybe not that we necessarily die, but that we get to be in the presence of God. Okay? We need to be ready for that. We need to be excited. We need to be focused on a sight that is saying, I am ready to be in the presence of God. So then, how do we be ready? How are we to be ready if, let's say, I'm not ready? That first step is accepting that gift of salvation, committing your life to Christ. That's not on your little sheet there, but that is the first step. But the first mark on your bulletin is to stay focused. Get ready by staying focused. Hey, if I've committed my life to Christ, and I say that I want to pursue a life that is worthy and glorifying of him, guys, I can't be focused on the world. I can't be focused on the things around me that are trying to pull me away from God. Because as much as God is trying to work in your heart, saying, come follow me, there's also a devil at work trying to do anything in his power to get you focused away from God. And he is working overtime, even though that he knows he's lost. He knows that he's lost the war. But he also knows that he can try to pull people away from serving and glorifying and staying focused on the one true king who has called you to be his follower. Stay focused. It talks about we as jars of clay, right? And I'm going to read that again, verse 7 and 8. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. There are a lot of pain and toil and struggles maybe that we face within a day. There's things that don't go our way as planned, actually probably more often than not. We have this schedule, we have this agenda, we have this saying, this is how I'm going to achieve this, this is what I'm going to achieve. And God's like, wait a minute. What about where I'm trying to lead you? What about, maybe that's not what I have for you, but you didn't seek me, you didn't follow me, you didn't focus on my word directing and guiding and leading you. And I'm not saying we're all like that, but I'm just saying, maybe some things don't go the way it's planned, maybe because God's trying to take you out of that into a different way for you to be able to focus on where he's leading you in the aspect of saying, you have chosen to follow me, not me, but God. Now listen and do as I have commanded you. And as you think of jars of clay, right? God is the molder, God is the potter, and we are the clay. And he chooses to mold us how he chooses. And sometimes we maybe get cracks or we get dents and maybe some things break, right? Because we live in an un, an imperfect world. So maybe we take some of those cracks and those broken things and we say, I'm not good enough to do what God has called me to do. Those tears and those heartaches get me to a point where I'm not good enough for the kingdom of God. But ultimately, He can choose how He uses you to serve in whatever way He allows. He has chosen, if He has chosen you to serve and follow Him, stay focused. Stay focused in the sense that He just wants you to be focused on Him and not around the world. So stay focused. But it's so cool. In verse 14, it says, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. If we're focused on an eternal perspective, if we're eternally focused, our focus is not on the world, but on Him who raised Jesus from the dead, allowing us to be able to have that gift of salvation. What an honor that is. What a blessing that is. Let's move into our second point. Staying focused is a key element. And the graduates really maybe are experiencing that this part of their season, getting ready for graduation. If they're not focused, right, they could maybe just end up not getting the credits they need or maybe flunking on finals or whatever. But to finish strong is a different matter. But we also got to clothe ourselves. We can get ready by clothing ourselves. If you guys have ever watched a graduation ceremony, it's a really formal ceremony. Everybody has gowns and a hat. And there's, I guess, I'll be honest, I don't know everybody that sits in there in that garb, but I know there's principals, I know there's the board, the school board, I know there's different top tier people that sit amongst that, making sure that the ceremony goes smoothly. And it is an elegant ceremony to watch seniors graduate and walk across the stage. And there's an expectation, right? Hey, let's wear nice slacks, a nice shirt with a tie or a dress if you're a girl, and let's present ourselves as with honor and dignity, right? It would look pretty foolish if a kid showed up in flip-flops and shorts and a tank top, backwards hat, saying, I'm here ready to graduate. I don't know if they let him walk. Personal opinion. Maybe they would. But here's the deal. We got to clothe ourselves. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, if you guys have that open, we're going to actually turn there. And it's talking about the armor of God. And we're going to read that here. Finally, be strong in the Lord and strengthen of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers in the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayers and supplications to the end. And keep alert with the perseverance, making supplication for the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We're going to walk through maybe each one of these, and I'm just going to maybe put a disclaimer there. You really could take each one of these and make a whole sermon series off of it. But we're going to do a 10-minute sermon series on the armor of God. I want to point out that the first thing it says is to put on the full armor of God. It doesn't say on Mondays you can pick up the shield. On Tuesdays, maybe get yourself ready with some shoes. On Wednesday, pick up a different piece. Nope, it says to put on the whole armor of God. And as a believer, I talked about the enemy throwing and trying to entice you away from following the Lord, right? He's throwing those darts, and it says it in Scripture. He's firing those flaming arrows. And as a believer, as one who has committed your life to Christ, I'm going to tell you what, there is a bigger target on your back. But you know what? There's really nothing protecting your back. You got to face a face forward. But you know what? All of your protection is there. Don't run away from God. Run towards God. And there's going to be attacks. There's going to be things in your life that, like I said, don't go as planned. And there's going to be evil attacks, things that you all wonder why happen. But the reality is, as a believer or as an unbeliever, there's always going to be things that don't go your way. But as a believer, there's the hope and the assurance of God, that we can have that gift of salvation. We can spend an eternity with God. And that is truly what we live for. If we don't clothe ourselves, right, those attacks of the enemy, they're going to pierce right through us, and we're going to get crushed, and we're not going to be able to stand back up. We're going to get pushed down. We're going to hurt, and it's not going to go away. There isn't going to be a peace, and there isn't going to have this peace that surpasses all understanding. But it says to pick up the full armor of God. And the first one, it says, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. What do you stand on? What do you go to that is truth? God's word is truth. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what you read in God's word is truth? Because at this point, there is so many truths out there. You can literally believe whatever you want, and that is considered truth. But God's word is an absolute truth. It does not falter. It does not waver. It does not return void. It is an absolute truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Think about that. We are not considered righteous by ourselves, or else we wouldn't have to put that on, right? Who are we considered righteous by? By the blood of Jesus. If we have committed our lives to Christ, accepted that gift of salvation, God now looks at us and sees that the blood of Jesus has atoned for our sins. And he says, I have counted you righteous in my eyes. Not because of us, right? Not because of us at all, but because of the blood of Jesus that was shed for all of those who choose to commit their lives to Christ. Shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I think it was 3 summers ago, the youth group put actions behind all this whole segment, and we memorized it as a youth group over the summer. And so this is the action for the shoes readiness for the gospel. Okay? I'll have you practice that later. Are you ready to go share the gospel? Are you ready to go be that light that God has called you to be? To go into the world, not to be of it, but to be in it, and to share the gospel? Or do we say, you know what, I'm not going to put on my shoes today because I'm kind of feeling a little timid. I'm feeling a little self-conscious of what I know. I'm not super confident in my knowledge of God and maybe of even the gospel. So I'm going to leave my shoes at home. And I'm going to go out. Have you ever walked on gravel without shoes? I don't know how people do it. It hurts. But it's the same in the world, right? If I'm not equipping myself with the full armor of God, putting on my shoes, ready to go share the gospel, my feet are going to hurt. And there's going to be those toils that hurt. But God gives us that readiness, that confidence, that ability to be able to be that light in all circumstances. Maybe we can make those excuses, right? Well, today's just not the day. I'll wait till next week. Not necessarily guaranteed next week, but maybe that's a thought. Put on those shoes. Be ready to share the gospel. Clothe yourselves with those shoes. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. You've confessed with your mouth, believed in your heart, right? As a believer. There's a faith portion that really ties into that. My shield of faith says, you know what? There are struggles. There are things that don't necessarily go as planned. But I have faith knowing that God is who he says he is. That if he says he's going to save me, I believe that. I believe that God's going to provide what I need. I believe that God's going to direct me. And I have faith that what he says in his word is truth. and I can stand by that. But what does it say? It says that as you pick that up, what's happening? You're protecting yourself from the fiery darts of evil. And it isn't this little whisper from the devil saying, hey, you don't need to follow God. It's an attack. I mean, that's a pretty aggressive picture of the devil trying to attack you in your walk with the Lord, right? Fiery darts. But hey, you can be equipped with the shield of faith. Stay focused. Clothe yourselves with faith. Pick up that shield of faith. Stand firm in what you believe in, knowing that God is true. And take up the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. You put that on. I often say, and I guess Lexi and I have had conversations, but there's a lot of people walking around with a helmet of salvation on, but they're not putting on the shoes, they're not putting on the breastplate, they're not putting on the belt, they're not putting on the shield of faith or anything else. They're just walking around saying, hey, I've got that golden ticket. I'm good. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I'm saved. I've done what Romans 9 says, 10:9 says. But really, that's just a naked Christian, right? I've put on the helmet, and I'm walking around like I can just live however I want. But Paul says that that's foolishness. Where there's grace, where there's sin, there's grace. And where there's more sin, there's more grace. Does that mean I should go on living just as I ought to? Absolutely not. That's foolishness. That's absurd. The helmet of salvation is a guarantee for you to be able to be in heaven with God. The rest of the things need to follow suit, though. As God continues to change your heart and change your mind and continue to lead you in a direction that He is guiding you to, those other pieces need to start being picked up so that you can be an ambassador for Christ, a fighter, a one who says, I am all in for the sake of Christ. And that last one, the sword of the Spirit. We gave one to Jacob and to David. Guarantee that's not their first one. But how cool is that? The sword of the Spirit. What do you notice about all of those pieces of armor? You have the shoes, you have the breastplate, you have the belt, you have the shield, you have the helmet. The only thing that's really different between all of those and the sword is all of these that you wear is a defense. This is a weapon, right? This is, hey, I can fight. I can fight with something. And it doesn't say, pick up your opinion. Pick up your mouth. No, it says, pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pick up God's word. This is what you can fight with. Jesus, before he started his ministry, even though he's been ministering his whole life, before he started his 3 years of ministry, went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And what happened in there? He was tempted by the devil. He was tempted with these partial truths that the devil spoke. But mind you, that he was speaking to Jesus, who is God, and he was quoting part of what God was saying. It's a really foolishness on the devil part to say, I'm going to try to trip up God with his own words, who's perfect in every way. Okay, note taken. But guess what? In those partial truths that were given by the devil, guess what was given back to the devil from Jesus? His word, the sword of the Spirit. The full truth, not just partial, but the fullness of what he said. And when we come up against those hardships or the struggles or the devil trying to pull us away from those things that really are not true, partial truths maybe, guys, we need to be picking up our sword of the Spirit and quoting Scripture. We need to be hiding this in our heart that I may not sin against God. I need to be using this before I use this. So we need to be clothing ourselves. And there's an importance to clothing yourselves, and I'm going to read that in Matthew. Matthew chapter 22, verse 10, says this, And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to them, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. But when the king said to the attendants, "Bind him and take him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Wow, that's aggressive. But if we're not clothing ourselves with the things of Christ, are we really ready? If we say, "Yeah, I know of God, but I've never put on the helmet of salvation. I've never picked up my shield of faith. I've never put on the sandals ready to go fight for Christ." Are we ready? I mean, that's pointing to me that we're not. I cannot enter the gates of heaven without picking up the armor of God, without accepting that gift of salvation, without fighting a fight that's for Christ. Because when I enter heaven, I want to hear those words, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant." And I pray that that's what you guys want to hear. And that is through us putting on that helmet of salvation, picking up our armor of God, and saying, "I am ready to fight for Christ. Not for myself, not for this world, but for Christ." The third thing to get ready by is growing. Continue to grow. Be ready for your graduation into heaven by continuing to grow. Let's read in that last 15 through 18. And it says this, For it is all for your sake, so that it is grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Okay, I think maybe we could all agree that when it says these light momentary struggles, sometimes it does not feel light and it does not feel momentary. It feels like these struggles that maybe we face are forever and long. And I would imagine for Jacob and for David, getting to this point of graduation has felt like an eternity. Or maybe for those who have still waiting for to get into their senior year or junior year or high school, it's like, man, is graduation ever going to come? Yeah, it will, okay? It always does. It comes every year, and then you bump up a year. So it does come every year. But it also comes as a Christian. At one point here on earth, we will all die. We will all face a point where we will live no longer in these bodies. We will have an immortal body. We will live eternally. But remember that there's two eternities. There's one in heaven, and there's one in hell. And the one in heaven is the one for those who have chosen to accept that gift of salvation. Hell is for the one that has chosen not to commit their life to Christ. But if I have gotten to a point where I say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I've served in the church for a little bit. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pretty much got to a point where I have done everything I'm supposed to do as a Christian. And I'm done growing. I'm done knowing of God. Not saying that you don't want to pursue being a Christian anymore, but maybe you think, I'm not needed anymore. There's no more for me to glean from God's word. There's no more for me to do as a believer of Christ. And that is not true. In today's world, we have a lot of graduations, right? You graduate from kindergarten. I don't know, maybe sixth grade. I don't know if that's a graduation yet. You graduate from high school. Then you have a graduation at college, right? An undergraduate. Then you have a graduation, maybe? Master's, and then doctorate, right? You can graduate in all of those areas. And if I graduate as a kindergarten, right, I still graduated. But if we kind of take that analogy and put it into our walk with Christ, if I have accepted that gift of salvation and I've maybe learn some basics, I still graduate as a Christian. It's not like, oh, because you did not graduate with a doctorate level of Christianity, you cannot enter heaven. No, you still accepted that gift of salvation. But I think we'd be naive to say that if it stops at each one of those, we can, and there's no more learning. That's not right. We graduate, and we continue to learn. We continue to grow. We continue to be used in the way that God is leading us and taking us. We have been challenged by Pastor Jeff at the beginning of this year to learn, grow, and go, right? Did I mess it up? It was good. All right. Learn, grow, and go. We're going to focus in maybe on that second portion. What does it mean to grow? Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 2 Peter 3:1-8. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with affection, with love. With brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a need for us as believers to continue to grow. Because when we're not growing, we're not being fruitful for the kingdom of God. But I think also when we think that we're done growing, I don't think we're eternally focused anymore. I think maybe we're focused on the earth. What can I gain in this earth? What can I accomplish? What can I arise to here in earth? And instead of being focused eternally and saying, that's my destination is heaven, nothing on this earth, maybe that's where that can come into play. We need to be eternally focused. We need to be focused. We need to clothe ourselves, and we need to continue to grow. So then there's this question that I have for you, and I'll bring it up again. Are you ready to graduate? Because the difference between a high school graduation and your graduation as a believer, you don't know when that time comes. Every year, May 20 whatever, high school graduates. Every year, like clockwork, right? It's not the same for believers. Because there's also a factor that's not within high school that there is with believers. We can say, I'm going to die someday. That is true. But Jesus might also come back at some point too. That's a factor we don't really often think about. Maybe sometimes. I know I sometimes think, I'm going to live to be 80, 90, 100, I don't know. But then some of the choices I make where I'm not really that smart, I'm like, maybe 50. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe that's more of Lexi's thoughts of me not living past 50. But hey, either way, Jesus is coming back. Before you pass, or you are going to pass and meet God in heaven. The question is, are you ready for that? Are you clothing yourselves with the armor of God, taking up what he has told us to pick up to be able to fight against evil? Are you staying focused in what God's word says? And are you growing as a Christian? And I really do feel like all of these are pretty easy to measure as a believer, saying, all right, where is my focus? What am I wearing as a believer? And am I growing? Am I becoming more patient? Am I becoming more loving? Am I becoming more knowledgeable of God's word? Things to continue to think about and pray about as we continue to grow as believers. Or maybe you haven't even started this journey as a believer and you want to, but maybe there's some fear. Maybe there's some not knowingness. But I tell you what, if that's you today, look around you. There is a church of believers that support, encourage, build up. We want to encourage. We want to build up. We want to be here for you as you start that journey. I mean, there's evidence of it, right? Graduations after graduations. Each year there's kids that come through the youth group, but it's more than that. They're in the church, and there's wisdom and love and generosity being poured out from the body of believers. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're here to continue to help each other grow and encourage and love. And ultimately, that's to honor God, to stay focused on Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for today. And Lord, I thank you again for David and for Jacob and just their commitment to you, their love for you, their passion to serve you. Lord, I pray that that would continue to be in their life. But Lord, more so than that, I pray that that's us as a church. Lord, that we don't just stop at certain points and think that we have done it all. Lord, we can continue to grow. We can continue to shine your light through this world. Help us to pick up that armor of God. Help us to grow and help us to stay focused on you and on the things that are eternal and not the things that are uneternal. Lord, we love you. And we give you praise for just your word and your truth that you bring through it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 15:13, it says this: May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Have a great week.